Welcome to the penultimate episode of Season 11. Episode 7 touches on X, Y and Z. As you might imagine, there are not many writing related things I can talk about using those letters. However, I've tried really hard to find some. So it'll be a bite-sized episode this time, and in the spirit of creating a bite-sized episode, I'll resist the urge to go through the housekeeping again. But just remember that I record this next to a window, so you might hear traffic, birds and people walking by. Here we go then. I'll touch on X-rated, X-ray, then Y for Yahoo moment and yearning, and I'll finish with Z or Z for zealous, zero, zany and zeitgeist. So X. X is for X-rated. X-rated stories, and many within the erotica genre, gather interest from readers, yet for the most part are also hidden away. You rarely get a bookstore that will openly display an X-rated or erotic book on its shelves in your eyeline. You might have to reach for it. As humans, we are quite funny with our reading tastes and how we respond to different topics. We hide these things away in case people think we've been reading them. Silly, really, isn't it? Have you ever written something that would be considered X-rated? And have you ever written erotica? I have written erotica, but I've not published anything in it. Most of the writing was specific scenes as an experiment rather than a plot for a story. I do find it interesting, though, which words I'd be happy to use should I ever publish them. And if I did, I would likely use a pseudonym so as to separate my book from all the other work I've ever done. Talking of words, how do you feel about curse words in your story? Dependent on the genre, the story, and my intended audience, I would use curse words in my writing. I write for adults, and if the situation called for an adult to swear, and they were the kind of person who would, then I wouldn't think twice about adding it. This harks back to a few episodes ago when I asked you what your thoughts were on trigger warnings within books. The thing is, as I've said, if the genre allows it, the story warrants it, and the character is the kind of person who would say it, I don't see where the problem is. I know a lot of people do, though, so I try to keep it in mind. But when creating a realistic character, I believe you have to keep in mind what that person would do or say in a tense situation. How would they react? Would they worry that people might hear them swear? Indeed, would they care? Are they in the kind of environment or society that swearing is not only acceptable, but expected? If they didn't swear, would they stand out for the wrong reasons and become a target? A lot of this depends on your story and genre, and also the audience, because genre feeds into that. A while ago, a beta reader highlighted to me that they were offended by a swear word I'd written in my story. Actually, I don't believe it was a swear word exactly. The offence taken was more geared towards a faith-based feeling. I did give it thought, but I kept in the offending word because A, it was in keeping with the character and appropriate for the situation, and B, I didn't see it as an offensive word. In fact, I tend to use the word a lot myself, and a lot worse than that too. Interestingly, another beta reader from the same book queried why so few curse words were used. Doesn't that go to highlight how different our audiences are? Just because it's a particular demographic doesn't mean everyone's the same. X is for X-ray. By this I mean take a good and deep look into our work. We do this when analysing the story and characters, the choice of words and all the above. In the first episode of season 10, when I began this alphabet prompt idea, I touched on A for analysis. Analysis and X-ray seem to work beautifully together, and considering they're at the opposing ends of the alphabet, it's a good thing to highlight here. X-raying your story, metaphorically of course, gives you the best possible way to see it from all angles. I like to do this to check everything is where it ought to be, and to help me process what was likely to be a year or so of my life. I don't recall if I included process in the P section, but processing what you've created is a very helpful way to take your mind from the doing and plant it into the done. It never hurts to celebrate your achievements either. I don't necessarily mean book a cruise, but sit back and feel justifiably proud of the feat, and remind yourself that it didn't exist before you put in all that effort. If this is you, major congrats. Y is for that Yahoo moment. A Yahoo moment is when things finally click, I would say. When you've worked on a plot that didn't flow smoothly, but now it does. Getting another person's point of view on it gives it some clarity. My usual Yahoo moments are when I've been working on a story for years, only I've not completed it yet. Or sometimes everything's changed in society. And rather than leave the story to rot in my document file, I still love it so much that I'll find a way to make it work. And then suddenly, Yahoo, it does. Another kind of Yahoo moment for me is when I know I can't edit a story anymore and it is finished. The months, usually years, it takes to write a book means that that Yahoo moment comes along with a massive bout of relief, but also bereavement because I've spent so much time with the characters, I know I'll miss them. So what would a Yahoo moment look like for you? Y is for yearning. This is a short and sweet one. What do you yearn after? Is it a particular story that nobody, including you, has written yet? Is it the space to write? Or maybe you yearn for no interruptions. It might be that you yearn for a break. Z is for zealous. Do you know what? I don't think this word gets enough airtime. Zealous means enthusiastic. Are you zealous or even overzealous about your plot or your story or character? I must admit, my enthusiasm for some characters tends to turn into a bit of a crush. So yeah, I'd say I can be overzealous about a character. Z is for zany. Now, according to an online dictionary, zany is amusingly unconventional and idiosyncratic. Seems like a very wordy, long wordy definition for such a small word. I'd say I fit into that description pretty well, though. Much like the word weirdo, which I probably ought to have added into W, which I get called quite often by my family, more than a few times a week, and about which I fully accept and thank them. Zany is similar. Would you say you were zany and, like the last word, zealous? Don't you find so many fun words are overlooked nowadays? Why don't we bring them back and use them more frequently? I will if you will. Z is for zero to hero. This was sent in by Zelma Klein from the Facebook group Arcane Quill. Thank you, Zelma. I do recall this term zero to hero was used to describe Keanu Reeves' transition from the Bill and Ted movies to Speed. I remember thinking, oh, that's a bit mean, because sometimes comedy in both movies and literature can be looked down upon. That said, often, nowadays, action movies or literature can be stuck in that category of genre that suggests the characters are all brawn and have no brain. But I digress. Zero to hero can mean a lot of things to a lot of people. Perhaps it can describe where you were this morning with your writing output and this evening, once you've finished four whole chapters in one day. Zero to hero can be applied to main male characters in romance novels too. They maybe went from a dull office worker to amazing husband material in the space of a story. It's the Clark Kent Superman trope, I think. I'm totally up for it at times, though, don't get me wrong, but other times I need a little bit more grit. I suppose it's about mood. Mine, not the book. So, what does zero to hero mean to you, aside from a rhyming melody and the assonance? Z is for zeitgeist. Now, this isn't a word I use much at all, or even think about really, but Zelma from Arcane Quill sent it in, so I've included it. It defines spirit or mood of a period of history. So, for example, today's zeitgeist might focus on social media culture and AI. So do you include those in your work? And would you? The only thing that worries me is that zeitgeist alters quite quickly. So would that significantly date your story? Like, no sooner had you written it, it would be old news. It's interesting, isn't it? I suppose a way to use it, but keep it fresh, would be to turn it into science fiction or dystopian. But then I'm overthinking this. You may have it all in check. So there you have it, episode 7 with X, Y, and Z. I hope you enjoyed this penultimate episode of season 11 of The Versatile Writer.